Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on into the Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come. NBA edition, we are tackling here, not the Thursday night slate. The Thursday night slate is interesting. It's only a five gamer, though. So I decided I would jump into the Friday night slate, let you guys get a little bit ahead of your research for the weekend. You know, maybe enjoy a little bit of a Friday, a relaxed Friday. You can enjoy your podcast, build some lineups, you know, do the whole thing. Didn't want to force the Thursday breakdown in here late, right before lock, which is coming up in just a few hours. We got a seven game slate on Friday evening, so that is a nice size too. Been some really, really fun slates lately. Some really interesting things happening, man. All is well in DFS, in NBA DFS, when games are staying close, when Joel Embiid is on the slate. I mean, that's really what, for me, that's about it. That's all I need, really. NBA is just really, really fun right now. Really, really fun to watch this. You know, you're in the mood for NBA DFS when the World Series is on, but you're sneaking Phoenix, Utah to be like, whoa, Phoenix is up? Wow. Dude, I watched some of that game last night while I was watching the series. Josh Jackson. Holy Josh Jackson. I mean, kid just has swagger. Goes straight at Rudy Gobert on multiple different possessions. He looked great. He is really, really a go-getter for that team. And, you know, they're not quite the abomination that they seem to be in the first two games. A big win over Utah, that means a lot. That's a head-scratcher a little bit. But anyway, hey, enough recap. Enough about that. We have a Friday slate to talk about. I don't have Vegas, but I do have the matchups here for you. So I will jump into that. I'll talk about the different games that we got going on, any potential injuries that we need to be aware of in each of these, and then we'll get into the player breakdown. I'll help you guys get a player pool started. Few notes before we get too far. One, Lineup Logic DFS, plenty of content coming out over there on the website. Please keep your eyes and ears peeled. Yes, there will be NBA cheat sheets starting in November. There will be cheat sheets, so keep your eyes open for more information about that. But most importantly, going to do the classic review free roll. Okay, so listen, you guys know the drill. This podcast is just me. I'm not attached to any major roto outlet. I don't have any other, you know, massive connections in the industry, whatever the case may be. Reviews matter. For me to keep up with the big wigs, for me to keep up with the major outlets who, you know, have massive financial backing and everything like that, reviews really, really matter. They help the show. In return, I'm running a free roll on Monday, so I'll remind people on Monday during the Monday NBA show, but gonna run an NBA free roll for prizes, and I'll give cash prizes for the top finishers in that. So write a review and get in contact with me. Write a review on iTunes. Get in contact with me, whether it's DM or email, lineuplogicdfs@gmail.com. And just let me know, hey, Sean, wrote a review, love the show, whatever the case may be. And I will, I'll send you the link for the free roll. So, I mean, cash prizes, how many people we get in there, you know, I'll make it a 20 man, however many people we get in there, cash prizes for the top three finishers. So, yeah, please, it really just helps. And if you don't even want to be in the free roll, just write a review. Five stars, it just helps. It helps the show a lot. I would really, really appreciate that. Anyway, all right, enough about that self-promotion nonsense. Let's go ahead and take a look at the slate upcoming for Friday night. Okay, first game of the night. Houston continues on the East Coast. They're going down to Charlotte, taking on the Hornets here. This actually should be an interesting game. I mean, we just saw Charlotte wipe the floor with Denver, absolutely destroy them. And then Houston's been playing a lot closer, playing things a lot closer than we would expect. And interestingly enough, they're not running the same pace that they were running. And this is interesting to me. Oh God, I just got a pop up on, I just got a pop up for a countdown timer for Dolphins Ravens. I'm sorry. You're going to waste advertising money on a Dolphins Ravens countdown timer? What happens then? Does my computer melt into a disgusting oblivion, or like, is there just a giant pile of trash that appears on my screen? Anyway, sorry. Hornets, Rockets, they're not running the same pace. They're only running about 100 possessions a game, which compared to where they were last year is not quite the same. Now, we could see that adjust. We could see a change, but I really think it's probably intentional by D'Antoni. I mean, that franchise is very analytically driven. They're probably thinking, listen, if in the beginning of the year we can limit our possessions, we're going to reduce the number of possessions that our studs have to play. We saw them really, really, you know, struggle. Their legs just weren't there at the end of the season. So could be an interesting thing to monitor as the year goes along. Anyway, Hornets injuries. We're looking, of course, at the big one, which is Cody Zeller has been out and Nick Batum. So you're going to continue to see Dwight and Jeremy Lamb get plenty of minutes in this one. So on the Houston side, you know, we're waiting on the Trevor Ariza injury. He is probably out, and probably Nene as well. That would be my guess on Friday. So we're going to see, a lot more minutes, continued minutes for Clint Capella and Luke Mbamute, who I know people wanted to go to him because he's going to get minutes, but Mbamute cannot score. So be careful what you wish for there. Next game on the slate, San Antonio going down to Orlando. This is an interesting spot. No serious injuries in this one. Of course, we're not going to see Kawhi back here. Not that I would really roster him anyway. The big one for Orlando, Elfrid Payton. He's day to day. He hasn't been playing. So we've seen DJ Augustine. Listen, I'm not playing DJ Augustine against the Spurs. I'll play him against the Nets, but I'm probably not going to play DJ Augustine against the Spurs. As far as San Antonio goes, like I mentioned, their injuries, Kawhi, Tony Parker has been sidelined as well. So we've seen DeJounte Murray be the starting point guard, and he's been excellent. He really has. He's been very, very good, DeJounte Murray. So we're going to talk about him later. Then we have Denver at Atlanta. Denver, man, Mike Malone, you better figure shit out. This team just looks out of sorts. Out of sorts. Revenge game for Paul Millsap here, who really has not been that good, but his price is dropping in fantasy. So you got to kind of say, okay, at some point, this guy's going to be himself. Denver looking at, not a lot of injuries. Juan Hernan Gomez has been out. Atlanta, though, banged up. Marco Bellinelli is probably going to come back tonight. But Dennis Schroeder could come back on Friday. We'll see. They're playing Chicago tonight. Schroeder is still with the ankle. I guess he's thinking about Friday night versus Denver. If he comes back and he's 100%, it'd be a really nice spot. I just don't know what only like 5 days after that ankle was serious. I mean, you do only 5 days after that ankle and you're not 100%, no doubt about it. Ersan Ilyasova, questionable as well. So we'll keep an eye on those because Johnny Collins could be in an interesting spot to start here and get some minutes against Denver. Brooklyn at New York. God, this should be a dumpster fire. The battle of the New Yorks. Although Brooklyn, man, I wish I had bet the over on their win total. They're actually playing really well. They have a lot of energy. They have a lot of youth. They have cohesion. I just like this team. I think that they've done a very respectable job at saying, let's take our time. Let's not rush. We're going to play a certain way. We're going to build a certain style of team. We're going to take the players that come to us. We're going to try to develop them. We're not going to spend too much money. You know, all those kinds of good things that teams do. Russell was out Wednesday. Hopefully he's back because, God, I want to play him against the Knicks. I want to play D'Angelo Russell against the Knicks so bad. On the Knicks, you know, nothing we're worried about of anything. We should see the same starters we have seen of late. Really good spot for Brooklyn, really. And a good spot for Porzingis as well. But that's about as far as I'm going to go on the Knicks on a given night. Although Enes Kanter, double-double machine right now. Really looking very good in that center role alongside Porzingis. Oklahoma City, Minnesota, we should see a rematch here. I don't think Andrew Wiggins is going to be quite as aggressive. And I honestly, the situation in Minnesota makes me a little bit anxious. I don't really understand what this team's identity is. I think they need to start to hand the reins to Jimmy and Kat. And they haven't. I mean, Wiggins has been shooting so much. I don't know what do you do? You just say, like, stop fucking shooting the ball, kid. You got two all-stars on your team and you take the most shots. Who are you? You know, and that's just, it feels like something's wrong. Something's wrong in Minnesota. It could be a massive, massive letdown. But Butler, he's, you know, had this chest cold. We'll see if he comes back on Friday. My guess is he will. On the Oklahoma City side, no serious injuries that we need to be concerned about for them. So all systems go in Oklahoma City. It's just always kind of a roulette to figure out who's going to pop for them as far as scoring goes. Although Carmelo has been very consistent. He is really enjoying just getting to stand still and shoot threes. Washington, Golden State, this game is going to be a good one. This one should be a lot of fun on the West Coast, although Washington just dropped the game to the Lakers, which is just, I mean, I don't know, you know, I like the Wizards. I don't understand how the hell that happens. You know, Golden State, they're not looking at any serious injuries. Sean Livingston will be out, but that's, you know, not anything that we are concerned about with for fantasy purposes. And, you know, Wizards still missing Markieff Morris, which is, you know, giving plenty of minutes to Kelly Oubre and Otto Porter. The numbers on the minutes for the Wizards have been ungodly. I mean, 38 minutes for all the starters. And Scott Brooks did this last year. You know, he's not afraid to ride his starters. He is a Thibodeau-esque style. We always talk about Thibodeau and how crazy he is. Scott Brooks is just as bad. Scott Brooks just as bad with his starters, no doubt about it. And, you know, they have a pretty tight rotation and they have not been able to gain and maintain leads. So he's not really going to the bench very much. So we should continue to see big starters minutes for these guys as they go up to Golden State for what should be a fun game. Last game of the night in LA, Toronto versus LA. This one will be good. I like this game. I mean, Toronto has been, you know, they just came off of a tough fight with the Warriors last night, kept themselves in it. I mean, and you know, I'm not a Toronto guy just because it's very hard for me to watch. It's like their own Kyle Lowry and Dwayne Casey. They're just too likable to see them constantly fail. And like, be like, we're good. We're so likable. This team is, you know, we do all the right things. We play defense. We, you know, we're scrappy. And they can't stay healthy and they can't do, you know, it's just not enough. You want to root for them and you're just like, guys, it's not going to work again. But this should be a good game for them against LA. LA, just a breakneck pace right now. Unbelievable pace. They're not dealing with any injuries. So full steam ahead on the Lakers. Very, very, very exciting stuff. Going on there. I mean, that team's just good. They're going to be good. They're getting there. They've got the pieces. They're going to develop the right way. It depends on what free agent they get, but if they get a good one, you know. Anyway, all right, enough takes about just NBA in general. Let's jump into the player pool. You guys know how this is going to work. I start with the studs. I go to the mid-tier, and then go down to the bargain basement. So let's go ahead and jump in, figure out who we love. At point guard, not hard for me, Russ versus Minnesota. And guys, forgive me, I don't have pricing up because I had to get these breakdowns in before pricing got released. I'm going out of town tomorrow. and obviously, you know, if something happens on tonight's slate or whatever the case may be, injuries, whatever, you got to pay attention to that. But Russ versus Minnesota has been amazing. You know, Melo is the lead scorer. I mentioned this. That's craziness. Melo has been the lead scorer in this offense, but Russ currently leading in rebounds and assists. He saw his price tag drop a little bit, which was nice. I mean, he was down at 10-6 last night, and boom, blew up 60 points for him. He's probably going to see that price jump back up into the 11K range before Friday. The usage is not exactly as dominant as it was. Okay, he has kind of had a similar, you know, he's above 30%. But he is, you know, he has two other guys who are at 28-27% elite usage levels as well. He absolutely blew up against Indiana. I mean, he's still Russ. He went for 28, 10, and 16. The thing about, you may notice, like, the fantasy scoring has been all over the place. What's up with that, Sean? Well, the key numbers are there. You know, the scoring has been there, the peripherals have been there, the usage has been there. He's still Russ. The difference in the game to game the scoring and the usage have been there. The difference is the peripherals, okay? The variance that we're seeing from rebounds and assists is a real thing. And why? I mean, because you have guys who are capable of handling the ball. You have other good rebounders in that team. You know, Steven Adams, Paul George, good rebounders as well. Capable of handling the ball. So, That's a tough thing. Minnesota, though, allowing a ton of assists in the backcourt, 16 total assists, one of the highest numbers in the league to backcourt to guard. So Russ should have a ceiling as far as, you know, just the peripherals go, and it's the assists that I'm really interested in here. We know the shots are going to be there. We know they're going to come out and try to make sure that they're not going to, they're going to come out and make sure that they, you know, get this one. I think that last one stung. I think they're going to try to make sure that they get this one. By the way, he has a 30-plus player efficiency rating and a 57% assist rate. Those numbers are insane. If you look at these numbers a lot, those numbers are insanity. Just craziness. Moving on to the shooting guard, you know, I think we're going to continue to look at Harden, and Harden versus Charlotte on the road here should be interesting. I mean, without CP3, we know the usage is there, 34% usage rate, 50% assist rate for him. Very similar to Russ, right? I mean, you know, the do-it-all guard insofar as, you know, how he has been stacking up. Just the points, the assists, the rebounds, everything like that. But he's been tough to pin down for fantasy. I mean, he has yet to hit 5X on FanDuel. Now, he just went for over 50 in Philadelphia, but that was the first time he went over 50 on FD this season. That was really interesting to me. You know, why is it? Well, Eric Gordon is scoring a lot more. Clint Capella is scoring a lot more. And they're not running as many possessions. So I think we do need to kind of temper our expectations for the beard and kind of understand that, like, listen, he's not going to score 37 points in a night, unless it's a shootout style game against a team that keeps the pace up, because they're only running about 100 possessions per game, which is very average. It's very average. You know, I think it's, like I said, I think it's intentional. We're going to keep an eye on it, but it's not quite the same. So, you know, and Charlotte is actually a pretty slow to average, you know, team. They're not trying to push the pace or anything that, you know, unique like that. Shot attempts have been there. Scoring has been there. The peripherals have varied, just like I said, like Russ a lot. Charlotte just doesn't allow peripherals. They're a very disciplined team. They rebound well. They guard their individual man well. They don't allow a ton of assists in the backcourt. So, you know, they are kind of, you know, just like I said, they are an average unit. They don't let anyone take advantage of them at any given position. There's really not any, you know, holes in this team. They're going to just kind of defend you completely and wholly, try to rebound and do it that way. So it's a tough spot for me. I mean, given the slate, I don't know if Harden's my favorite investment in the studs, because I think that this game could actually be slightly underwhelming so long as Charlotte can stay in it. I don't think that there's anybody that can necessarily guard Harden, but you do have a situation, on the road here where we've seen this isn't going to be, you know, this isn't going to be a situation where Harden has a free pass. And Charlotte last year, we know they gave up the three, they gave up free throws, they had a problem with that, they gave up a lot of turnover. they're not doing that this year. They're really trying to limit that. They don't really have some of the same issues. Not a lot of fast break points, things like that. So very fundamentally disciplined team, which makes sense. They got a lot of veterans and stuff like that. Not a lot of inexperience on that team. So I think Harden may not be my favorite stud. I probably prefer Russ over him, given that. Moving on to small forward, Kevin Durant versus Washington. Now, listen, this is going to also be my opportunity to talk about Draymond Green. Now, I'm going to talk about Paul Millsap. I'm going to talk about LaMarcus Aldridge in the Grout section. I'm going to guess that LaMarcus is going to be the highest priced power forward. It could be Kristaps, who I'm also going to talk about in just a second. So you're going to hear my player takes, but just kind of understand that they may be slightly disorganized based on pricing. I apologize. But KD, Draymond, I'm going to talk about them both together because I think that they're both worthwhile in this game against Washington. In fact, I want one or the other, if not maybe both. I have no problem with one or the other. The matchup with Washington really does favor the front court. I mean, and it makes sense, right? Beal and Wall are good defenders. They're physical. They have length, they have size, they have speed. So they're certainly, it's not to say that they're going to shut down Steph and Clay, but this matchup certainly favors KD and Draymond, and there's a couple reason that it does. Okay, one, Washington ranks 27th in total points allowed to the front court, and they've allowed nearly 11 assists to forwards and centers. That's an above average number as well. Very middle of the road as far as rebound rate. So that's not really a thing. But the real thing, if they've been turning the ball over a ton, and allowing a ton of fast break points, 17 fast break points, some of the most in the league. Last night, against the Raptors, Golden State scored 32 points on the fast break. That's insane. I mean, the Raptors defense is good. 32 points on the fast break. We know that that's how Golden State likes to operate. If they can get a turnover, they can create a turnover, get out in space. No team does it better than them, and the ideal combination of scoring and fast break points that belongs in the front court. And it's Draymond. He's getting 33 minutes. He scores 42% of his points through the break. That's the highest rate on the team. KD fourth on the team with 32%. Clay and Iggy are in between at 3 and 4 respectively. So I don't mind. And there's actually a good correlation between Draymond and Clay, which makes a lot of sense. A lot of Draymond's assists go to Clay. So you definitely don't stack an NBA in cash games necessarily, unless it's a smash matchup. But I think this is going to probably have one of the higher totals on the slate. So exposure to this game is warranted, depending on pricing. I feel comfortable with either of these guys. And Durant may actually be in that sweet spot, that 10K stud. He has the ceiling. He has the same ceiling that, that 60-point ceiling, no doubt about it. So I like him. I like him a lot in this position. And, Otto Porter, yes, very good defender. He's tough. But I think that Kevin Durant can score against LeBron. So... Otto Porter's not better than LeBron. Iggy. This is my note about Iggy, by the way. Made a note about him. He's definitely in play. He is in play. I mean, but that depends on his price. I mean, he scores 18% of his points on turnovers and 37% on fast break. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's a hound. He's a defensive guy. He's going to run the floor, get into the break, just take easy buckets because he's not going to create off the dribble. We know that's not his game. But he's only getting 26 minutes. He's got that veteran discount in Steve Kerr's offense, just not a lot of minutes. So depending on his price, he could be a nice little kind of pivot play, maybe GPP. Kristaps. He's center eligible on DK, which is why I'm talking about the center position, but he's only power forward eligible on FanDuel. He's got a dream matchup with Brooklyn. But listen, man, this is the zinger tilt, okay? If he can't get it done here, I mean, the Boston matchup seemed like a smash spot. They don't rebound. Horford is slow. All these things add up, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, let's go zinger. I mean, he's got, 30% usage rate. It's all there. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I kept targeting him last year. You guys heard me on the podcast. I kept targeting him. His price was, down at 6K. I was like, this guy can score 45 points. We have to play him. And he didn't do it. And it, sometimes he just doesn't show up, which is really, really obnoxious. But he has the reins now. We know he scored quite a bit in those first two games, 46 in both of those, and then 13 last night or two nights ago against Boston. It's very, very difficult to, you know, you see that number right before and he just shoots 3 of 13 and just stops shooting. To see that right before a matchup with Brooklyn, one of the most, you know, one of the best matchups on the board, some of the most scoring in the league allowed, 25 points allowed in the front court. They rank 25th in scoring allowed to the front court. He's going to be able to abuse Mozgov, when Mozgov gets minutes. Mozgov doesn't get a lot of minutes, so I think we probably will ultimately see RHJ guard him at some point because he's probably the only one that has a combination of length and speed to actually stay with Kristaps, but that doesn't really bother me because he's much bigger than RHJ. He's a unicorn. I mean, how many centers can pour in 33 points and shoot, 40% from behind the arc on 8 attempts? You know, I mean, he is the unicorn. That's him. So, If on FanDuel you're saying I already have my power forwards, I'm good, fine, okay, then, you know, maybe you look at Horford or Cantor in this matchup too. I mean, you look at Cantor in this matchup. Cantor at center has been really, really very, very good for this team, and I think he's certainly in an interesting spot versus Brooklyn, and he's been getting plenty of minutes, so that's an interesting way to flip this as well. All right, moving on to the mid-tier, the Grout mid-price guys filling in your lineup. You're always going to need 3 or 4 of these clowns, 5 to 8K range. Let's start it off with Kyle Lowry. When's the Kyle Lowry breakout coming? I think it's going to come on Friday night versus the Lake Show. I think we'll see his price stay in the 7Ks, which is nice because he, even though he flirted with a breakout last night against Golden State, he didn't actually break out. He went out there and had a 25% usage rate and took 18 attempts, but just really couldn't get him in. Couldn't get it going, but that's the kind of thing that you like to see. You start to say, okay, now we're starting to see some Kyle Lowry usage bumps. We started to see him get active, try to be more aggressive with the ball. That's what I want to see, especially going into a matchup with the Lakers, who run the fastest pace in basketball. So you have massive pace differential for Lowry. Listen, even though last night he couldn't get the ball through the net, he scored 39 FanDuel points because we know he distributes, we know he can rebound, rack up a couple steals here and there. He is a very complete point guard, no doubt about it. I think this is a great spot. Wall struggled here, fine. Okay, it should have been a slam dunk. I was really pretty tilted about the fact that Wall didn't go for 50. That was frustrating. But I think Lowry could jump out of his slump here against the Lakers. No doubt about it. The LeVar curse is what I worry about. Maybe Lowry would be smart enough to avoid taunting LeVar in this one and getting the whole media storm involved with Lonzo's very sensitive. It's like, oh my God, when are we gonna stop talking about this family and just start talking about the basketball? Just talk about the way the kid passes the ball. Stop talking about his fucking dad. Just show love. I'm getting push notifications about how, it rubs them the wrong way. Give me a break. This is not a story. This is not a story. Talk about the game. Lowry. I am really also very, very deeply and emotionally hopeful that D'Angelo Russell plays versus the Knicks. Oh, please. If he plays, you're locking him in. Lowry and Russell, man, those could be two really nice little Grout point guards, but there is some value on the point guard slate as well. No team in the NBA allowing the point guard more assists, 13 total per game, the Knicks to the position so far, along with 25 points. Now, obviously, we're not going to see 13 assists and 25. Now, if we see 13 assists and 25 points for D'Angelo, woo, let's go. But I think we could see him have a really good game. He's led this team in scoring and usage as well as assists. He's in a good spot, man. He's in a really good spot to do what he wants here in this matchup with the Knicks. You know, Ramon Sessions, come on. Ramon Sessions is don't care. At shooting guard, you gotta like DeMar, man. You gotta like DeMar. Obviously, Clay and Beal are in play. I think there's gonna be a lot of high scoring. It's gonna be a high scoring affair. It's just hard to project which one could get it done. That, I mean, that's a hard matchup to project. So I, if you have a sense of it, go for it. I do not have a sense for it. Okay. So I'm going to just kind of say, But DeMar versus the Lakers, he is the offense, man. When Lowry has struggled, it is DeMar. I mean, he went for 50 FanDuel points last night against the Warriors. Obviously, a much better defensive team, defensive unit than the Lakers here. You know, he's leading this team in points, attempts, usage, and the freebies. I love the freebies. The reason you play DeMar DeRozan is because he is going to get you 10 free throws a game. Those free points are just so nice. They create such a floor for him. You know, as long as this game is competitive, and the way that the Lakers have been playing, I think it should be competitive. I mean, the way the Lakers have been playing, they've been staying in games. They've been challenging teams. You have no Jonas Valanciunas on the court, no Bebe Nogueira. You know, that's going to help. You know, the Raptors are going to be a little bit more thin. I think that the Lakers can stay in this one. You know, like I said, though, 10 attempts per game from the free throw line, shooting 83%. This is consistent with what he was doing last year. I mean, there were times where he would go to the line 15, 16 times in a game, and you're getting, you know, 13 points for completely for free because he's just, that's what he does. He draws so much contact or creating shots for himself. But they've been a good matchup just based on that pace, 113 possessions per game. We saw Brad Beal do some serious damage here, 46 FanDuel points, 45 DK points. So I really like DeMar in this spot, depending on price. Now, if DeMar jumps up to like that $9,000 price range, you're not playing him because you need him to go over 45. And what I really think he's, you know, he's a 40-point guy. He's a 40-point guy. So you think, okay, 40. 40 is where I want him to be. In a good matchup, I like DeMar for 40. Well, in a good matchup like this, I think you have to be cognizant of how much you're paying for him, because if you're overpaying for him, he doesn't always show a ceiling. He has ceiling games, but it's not, this isn't Giannis. This isn't Kevin Durant, where all of a sudden you look up and they got 12 rebounds. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that. He has the scoring ceiling. That's what's going to correlate to the floor. So I like his floor. I think I'm cognizant of his price. And if he's over, let's call it, if he's over 8.6 or 8.7, I'm going to start to be a little bit concerned with that price. And let's see, where was he as far as price was last night? I believe he was 8.2. Was he not? Was he not, sir? Was he not $8,200? I'm looking it up. This not having pricing, guys. Sorry, pain in the butt. But, you know, it's worth to have a player breakdown. 8-3, nailed it. Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, and that's where you want it. That's kind of the sweet spot, right? 41 points against San Antonio, 51 against Golden State. You know, and let's see on DK, how's he priced? DK, yeah, DK, the thing, I was going to say he's, you like the three-point bonus. He doesn't shoot the three-pointer. What am I talking about? He's not a three-point guy, so you don't get the three-point bonus with him there. Lowry, you do. Lowry. So certainly, let's price watch DeMar. Let's see where he goes for pricing. If he jumps above 8.6, I think be careful. But I do like him in this spot. I think he could definitely do 50 again. Gary Harris versus Atlanta. This is a little bit of a drop down in price tier. Yeah, it is. You know what? I mean, listen, this Denver team is struggle bus right now. But Harris needs to pick it up if they want to start. You know, the first unit of this team has a lot of, like, I need the ball type players. Jokic needs the ball. Millsap needs the ball. Harris doesn't always need the ball, but I think he's the kind of player that you need to get the ball to him so good things can happen. Right? He's dynamic. He's athletic. He's going to be able to create plays in traffic. I think, you know, and he shoots well. He shoots really well from the three. So you got to let him shoot the three. He struggled. He has, but I think last night we saw him take 17 attempts. He had 18 points. The three-pointer was there, and that's the thing you do. You attack Atlanta against the shooting guard. We did it last year. We're doing it again. They don't guard the perimeter well. I don't know if it's a Budenholzer thing or what, but I think that we could certainly go to Gary in this situation and hope that he gets that shooting volume up, keeps it there. Maybe he gets a couple extra points. The one thing that I don't like about what I'm seeing from Gerbert is this. Peripherals. Usually we like Gary for like 7 rebounds. You know, last year in the second half, we were like, oh man, Gary, give me 16 points and 5 rebounds and 3 assists and a steal. And you're like, oh, balling out, you know? We loved that. That was what he was, what we loved that about him, but he just hasn't been getting the rebounds. And that's Millsap. That's just Millsap. That's Millsap coming back there. And it's just, this team has not gelled yet. And if they don't gel, they're going to fire Mike Malone. But the Atlanta spot is really the best matchup they've had all year. I mean, remember, they had Utah, they've had Charlotte, they had Washington. These are much better opponents. These are much more competent teams that they have played in their last couple matchups. I think they even had, who did they have in the opener? Did they have, they had somebody like San Antonio or something like that? I forget who it was. But I think, you know, we got to expect Gary and this, we got to expect good things, especially with his declining price. I think we expect him to eventually get it going here. You know, with the starters minutes, 30 minutes, you know, that's got to get better. Charlotte, Washington, Utah, and then they played Sacramento and they just got destroyed. But his price is dropping. I mean, he's down to 5,400 last night. I think you're going to continue to see that price go down a little bit. And you got to jump on that. I mean, this guy is capable. We know he's capable of 30 points, 30 FanDuel points a night. We got to keep an eye on him. Small forward. Two guys that I really like. First, Damari Carroll. Dude has been on fire. On fire. Stuffing the stat sheets. What did Fern used to say? Fern used to say, stuffing the stat sheets, stacking the studs. Carroll, man, stuffing the stat sheet, no doubt about it. He's been, you know, taking a ton of shots, benefited from the pace here, benefited from, just a new system that needs him to score. Rebounds, steals. He had 4 steals the other night. Damari Carroll. Yeah, that old guy with the knees and the Raptors guy. Yeah, you remember him, right? Yeah, like 6 points a game in Toronto. His role is different. His role is different here in this offense. I think he is, you know, the souped up Joe Harris. in this, and you know, it's nice. He's been good. He's got fresh legs. I don't think he's going to last because he's old, but he's definitely in a good spot. And it, you know, the Knicks, this is one of the best DVP matchups on the board, small forwards versus the Knicks. So let's go. I also like Kelly Oubre. I mean, the minutes. When you have some of the most minutes on the slate in a competitive game that promises a lot of score, you just have to kind of think about it. He's flirting with 40 minutes a night. That's insane. I mean, you're getting 40 minutes a night. You're just raw opportunities, raw number of possessions that you are buying with that price. He's the cheapest for that, you know, for that salary that you are getting. There's not many other places on a slate where you can get nearly 40 minutes of playing time for only $5K something. So I like Oubre in this situation. He did very well in the Denver game in a pace up situation, open court type stuff. He can do very well. You know, try to create turnovers, be running the floor, that kind of thing, benefits from that. Now, Golden State, a much better defensive team than Denver is, but I think this is a good spot for Oubre. If you need some salary relief, I don't mind going to him, but I would almost rather go to the Kuz monster. The Kuz monster got 30 minutes last night, and he took 15 shots. It's all happening. It's all happening. Kyle Kuzma is happening. The three is his. It's his job. I'm not a Brandon Ingram guy. So for me, Kyle Kuzma is one of my faves. The job is there. It's given to him. You know, I love the attempts here. Toronto is not a great matchup. Okay. This is not a great match. They're a sound defensive unit. However, if you want to attack them, you don't do it at the point guard position. You don't attack them at the point guard position. You do, however, do it on the wings. You can attack them, the two and the three. And I think that Kuz is one of the more clear positional players on this team. 30 minutes and 15 attempts is not something you see a ton of in Walton's offense. You know, we see these guards rotate. I mean, not even Julius Randle can get through. I mean, he was last year, but he was just garbage. So Kuzma is interesting to me in this situation. I think he's worthwhile. He's got a decent matchup there. On the wing with CJ Miles. You know, CJ Miles is athletic, but I think Kuz has some size on him there. At power forward, I mentioned that LaMarcus is LaMarcus price-wise, I'm pretty sure he's going to be priced above Draymond, but priced below Kristaps. Is that right? Is that right? Somebody's looking at the slate. If you're looking at the slate right now, go ahead and give me a thumbs up. Okay, thumbs up. All right, LaMarcus versus Orlando. It seems like a bad matchup on paper. The Magic, because Aaron Gordon, he's athletic. We like him. He's handsome. He smiles a lot. He has other interests outside of basketball. He dunks things. You know, it's hard. You're like, oh, I don't know if that's a good matchup. They actually are allowing a lot of points. From a DVP perspective, this is a top 10 matchup. You know, 25 points, double-digit rebounds. And here's the reason you want Aldridge now. Aldridge is seeing minutes that he's never going to see again this year. 36 minutes per game. That is weird. That is weird, you guys. Popovich doesn't do that to people. He is seeing 36 minutes per game. Why? Probably because they know that once Kawhi comes back, they'll be able to more evenly distribute things and slow stuff down, and they'll give him a day of rest or whatever the case may be, but they need him out there to get the offense going. You know, 36 minutes is crazy. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists with at least a steal and a block on nearly 20 attempts per game. I mean, there's nobody out there who is even close. Danny Green is the next close player in usage, and Danny Green's in play too. you know, I just think that LaMarcus at these minutes in a good matchup with Orlando, I think this is a good spot to go to him possibly. Is the ceiling there? Not necessarily. The plus minus is what I'm curious about. Based on the fact that he is doing so well, his price will likely rise. An elevated price on LaMarcus is tough because, you know, yes, he could go for 30 and 10, you know, and just eat. You know, get you somewhere close to 50 points. He could, but he's just as likely to go for 21 and 7, right? You know what I mean? And so there's a range of outcomes there where you're saying, I feel very comfortable knowing LaMarcus Aldridge can get me 35 points. I feel pretty comfortable knowing LaMarcus Aldridge can get me 40 points given the minutes that he's been getting lately. Do I feel comfortable projecting LaMarcus Aldridge for 45 to 50 points? That's when I start to go, okay, I don't know, right? That's where you have to be careful about projecting these range of outcomes. And guys, that's what you're buying. You're buying a range of outcomes with the dollars that you spend, right? Given his minutes, given his matchup, how many points could I see him score? Is it worth paying this price for him? Right? Is it worth paying this price for him? It's like, you know, we just gave that example of LaMarcus Aldridge. Kyle Lowry against the Lakers. I know his range of outcomes is 35 points and above. So I'm buying that 35-point price range here, that 35-point plus 35 to 45-point range of outcomes for $7,500. That's perfect. That's exactly where I want to be, right? That's exactly where I want to be because based on the range there, I'm not too far below. If he only goes for 35, I'm not too far below 5X value. But if he goes for 45, then I've, you know, totally maximized where I wanted to be and gotten, you know, a 9K outcome for only $7,500. It's, you know, it's about bargain. You gotta be a bargain hunter. You gotta be shrewd out there with your pricing, gang. It'll be shrewd, buying a range of outcomes. That's the way to think about it. I'm buying a range of outcomes. How many points could he score? Is he likely to score? And is that, you know, is that it's a game of inches any given Sunday. Millsap is also, though, I mean, so you could go to Millsap and expect a very similar range of outcomes to LaMarcus. We saw it last year. They had very, very similar numbers last year. You know, 21-7, right? That was the thing. That was what you expected. You were good with 35 points from those guys, and we knew they had 40 in their arsenal, depending on how many minutes they got or usage of shot attempts, stuff like that. But Millsap versus Atlanta, revenge game, his price is going the opposite direction because he just has not figured it out in Denver just yet. You know, Atlanta is allowing plenty of production to the power forward. It's just because they just don't have the experience there. It's either Ilyasova or Collins. Collins is a rookie. Ilyasova is old and slightly broken. So my boy James Johnson, you guys know my boy James Johnson, Miami Heat, went for over a fantasy point per minute against them. 26 minutes, 28 fantasy points. Just crushing it. They allow the rebounds. They allow the scoring. Denver is an excellent rebounding team. We do have the revenge game narrative for Millsap. I just think that this could be, you know, him showing up and showing out in Atlanta. And I think he would like to do that. So low sevens price dropping. You look at that price on Millsap tomorrow and you decide whether or not he has to be in your lineup, because this guy is capable of 45. We know that. Him and Lowry. Two old guys, and you know, in your lineup at center, a couple options for you in this mid-range. First of all, Dwight is in play. Dwight is in play until Zeller's back. The minutes are there. The rebounds are there. Dwight is in play against Houston, no doubt about it. Revenge game for Dwight. Dwight loves revenge games. Loves them. Dusted Atlanta. When he was on Atlanta and in Houston, he dusted Houston. This is a twofold revenge game. No, that's not the word. Not twofold. What is it? Not two part. This isn't a sequel. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's two teams ago. Revenge game. That's dumb. So I like Dwight, but Gortat, the Warriors are just like vacating the middle of the floor. They're giving up so many points to the center. The DVP is just absolutely atrocious right now. They choose not to guard the center position. They've just been owned by centers this year. I don't know. It's a Steve Kerr thing. Maybe it's a Warriors thing. I'm not really sure, but it's the most fantasy points allowed down there by the Warriors by far. They defend against everything else. Gortat showing some big games too of late, had some really big rebounding games, he's had three double doubles on the year, had 37 minutes in that Lakers game. That's crazy for a big fella. I mean, with no Mahimi, I think they're probably going to dial him back once Mahimi comes back, but 37 minutes is bananas. Capella versus Charlotte is also interesting. He's super efficient. He's not going to get more than like 28 to 30 minutes, right? But Charlotte has been a tough matchup. That's the one thing I will say. They're allowing points, some rebounds. The question you got to ask is does Dwight get the better of him in this situation? Dwight is not going to allow a ton of rebounds for the opposing center. He can allow some scoring to, you know, stretch fives and stuff like that. Like a guy like Kevin Love, Al Horford, those guys have had games against him, but not interior guys. And Capella does like to work on the inside. I think this could be a tough matchup for Capella, although I do like him in this spot. Moving on to the bargain basement, 5K and below. Of course, now, guys, these prices could change and I could be wrong. You could go, Sean, these aren't the prices. I'm sorry, okay? Let's not all talk like middle schoolers, all right? We don't have to be, don't complain. I retired from teaching middle school. And I have a toddler and he complains a lot. So no complaining if my pricing is inaccurate. Okay, I'm presuming that I'm lecturing you. Point guard, Deontay Murray, man, let's go. I mean, of course, Dinwiddie's in play. If Dinwiddie is in play, then there you go. Lock him in all formats. But DeJounte Murray versus Orlando, been getting about 28 minutes per game. Been really good, too. I mean, the kid is just really, really effective. And you know, is he a better real-life basketball player than fantasy basketball player? Yes, every Spurs player is. Every single Spurs player is a better real-life basketball player than fantasy basketball player because that's just the way Pop likes it. But, you know, Murray, the price is going up. price is going up, but I think we'll see his price should come back down. He struggled in that Miami game, and his price should come back down. He had 30 in a couple games of late. So, you know, hopefully the price comes back down after the struggles in Miami, you know, and if he's in that 5,500 range, I really like him, especially if it's DJ Augustine and not Alfred Payton, although Alfred Payton's a fine matchup too. I have no problem with that. They have similar hairstyles, so maybe that'll be kind of a fun, you know, game for them. Courtney Lee. I hate to say that. I'm sorry I said it out loud. It's just that the matchup with Brooklyn on the wing is really, really good, and Lee just gets so many freaking minutes. They don't have anybody else that they play at the two. He's 4K. He's the kind of play that you're like, how much money do I have? Fuck, you know, like $4,000. Courtney Lee is going to get you 30 minutes. He's going to go out. He's going to play 30 minutes. You set the floor at 20 points. You hope that he exceeds it and maybe makes a couple extra, maybe makes two extra threes. That's it. That's why you play him. Okay, but Danny Green is just as exciting. Danny Green has been phenomenal. Really, really phenomenal. Very, very efficient. Similar to, you know, what I said about Murray. Better real life player than fantasy player, but the fantasy production has been there. You know, really, really good stuff. Popped in two games over 30 points in two separate games. Flirted with 30 against Miami. You know, if he is in that five, mid fives price range, I don't mind him against Orlando in this situation. I don't mind him. He's going to have the green light to shoot. We know he's taking plenty of attempts. I think it's very likely. And he gets the steals and the blocks, man. He's worthwhile for that alone. So I like him in this spot as well at shooting guard. At small forward, I'm going to name another Spurs player. This is obnoxious. Kyle Anderson. But these guys are kind of cheap, and I think people aren't quick to pick up on who's playing for the Spurs because no one wants to play the Spurs. But these are, you know, this is the rotation. It's Murray, Anderson, and Green right now. And you know, they seem like nobodies, but they're very efficient players. You know, they're very efficient players. And Anderson has been relatively inexpensive in the 4Ks, very effective with his minutes. He had a massive game in Miami, had a massive game in the home opener against Minnesota as well. So he's in play. Torian Prince in play, depending on his price. He just has not been very effective, which has been annoying. Moving on to power forward, we know Ersan Ilyasova is likely out. That means you're going to have some John Collins in your life. John Collins. Hopefully he can get some extra minutes. If he can get some extra minutes, you got to love John Collins in this situation. Although, Millsap is not an ideal matchup, and this team rebounds the hell out of the ball. They really do. The Denver led the league in rebound rate last year. They're third this year, so they rebound extremely, extremely well. John Collins, that's what he does. He rebounds. So, you know, if anybody's going to rebound for Atlanta, it's going to be him in this situation. Other than that, not really a lot that I like at the power forward position. Keep your eye on the injury news. You could get some value opening up there. I think I'm okay paying in the mid-range for some power forward options. I wouldn't mind Rondae Hollis-Jefferson against the Knicks either. I love interior players against the Knicks. And in fact, Hollis-Jefferson should probably have the best matchup there of all those guys. So RHJ could be another power forward option that you could use. Just depends on his price. He was up there. He was like in the 6K range, which is a little much. I like it centered Jakob Poeltl. I don't know if I said that right. Yeah. Jakob Poeltl. I think it is Jakob Poeltl. I think I just did. I think that was right. Jakob Poeltl. Yeah, versus the Lakers. He's definitely interested in him. He's just been really effective. I mean, I think he's probably going to come in and get way more minutes just based on the fact that he's so good in relief of Jonas Valanciunas and Nogueira right now. So, he's been great. His price is going to continue to go up, but it's a good matchup with the Lakers. We've seen centers against the Lakers be successful. So certainly is a good spot for Poeltl to get, 30 minutes and, a possible double-double with the rebounds there. That is it. And I can't go build you a lineup, but I'll give you a sense of what I'm thinking. I love the 7K. I love the 10K stud. I love like one 10K stud. Maybe a, Maybe I put, you know, Durant in the middle, and then I'm attacking the 7K price range. The Kyle Lowry, the Draymond Green, the D'Angelo Russells, you know, and I'm taking some mid 5K guys. That's kind of how I think I'm going to be building here, because it's not really a stars and scrubs. I mean, the last couple nights on the big slates, you've seen some, you know, 3 and 4K plays that you have to have in your lineup to let you get up to multiple studs. I don't know if Friday night is going to be like that, depending on how injury stuff shakes out. But I don't know if Friday night's going to be like that. So that's kind of my build strategy as of now. Listen, Monday, you're going to have another NBA pod coming back at you. Tune in, subscribe, download, listen. NBA listeners, write a review. Get in there. Let me know you write a review. You get into the free roll, and I'll pay you to win. That sounds bad. Get in the free roll. That's all I'm saying. Get in the free roll, and cash prizes for our winners. Guys, I appreciate you. Have a great weekend. And I'll talk to you later.